Hi guys, my name is Johnny Scott and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD as we like to call it. This is the fourth in our series of podcasts where we'll be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. Today, we're talking about end of support and using that as an opportunity to change. End of support is when a company ceases to provide support for a product or service. This is usually applied to hardware and software products when a new version is released and support for previous versions ends. Many big products are going end of support in the next 12 months. For example, Microsoft Windows 7, Windows SQL Server 2008, Windows Server 2008, Checkpoint R70s, VMware Horizon View 6.x, vSAN 6.0, 6.1 and 6.2, and the list goes on and on and on. So while this may seem rather daunting to some organizations, many will see end of support as a positive thing. There's always the option to upgrade to the latest version, but why not look at end of support as an opportunity to change and drive the outcomes that your business desires? So to discuss that with me today, I have Jacob Neal, a Cloud Solutions Specialist here at Phoenix Software, and Craig Taylor, our Cloud Solutions Director. They're here with me to discuss the options available to you and why end of support doesn't have to be as scary as it sounds. So hi guys, thanks for joining me today.
Hey John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Good.
So I'll start quite generalistic and let's just gather your opinions on what end of support actually means to our clients. Do you see our customers embracing this as an opportunity, or are they just seeing it as something else to worry about? So, Craig, do you want to kick us off?
I'll kick off. And that list sounds like it's very long and scary.
Exactly.
There's a number of products going into of support. I think it's a big area that a lot of our customers are talking to us about just now. I think generally people are seeing it as an opportunity to do things differently, to perhaps upgrade or look at changing the way that they are working. I think sometimes extending support on those products can actually be cost prohibitive. So in some cases, they're being sort of forced to transform, but actually I think there's a genuine appetite for them to want to do things differently, especially if you look at things like SQL, for example. There's a number of different ways of doing that now, which probably didn't exist if we go back as far as 2008, with some of these technologies were invented. So a real opportunity to do things differently.
Okay. Brilliant. Jacob?
Yeah, I think it is scary for some customers, but only because they're not aware of what to do and where to get started and how to get started. And it can be scary if you're not, if you don't know kind of what you need to do and how to make that transition. And that's, kind of where, organizations like us can help kind of lead the way, as it were. And once you kind of have that discussion with them and start to kind of shine the light on some of the things that are possible, it becomes a lot less scary and a lot more exciting about the changes that they can make.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you see a theme within any areas of our market that we address within the public sector? Are some areas more open to change and using this as an opportunity than others? Or is it more a case-by-case basis? How would you see that?
Yeah, it's really mixed. So I think public sector in general tends to have more sort of legacy technology or stuff that needs to be upgraded or will be affected by some of the end of support. Mm-hmm. If we look at, let's just say, infrastructure, something like SQL, depending on who we speak to within the organization is really interesting. So you'll probably find that there might be somebody who's looked after the SQL environment for years. That's been their main job. If you talk to them about SQL, it's very much, well, how do you upgrade just that database or just that SQL environment to support what they're doing? Mm-hmm. If you go to somebody else in the organization who might look after the data warehousing or the management reporting, you'll have a slightly different conversation with them because they see a different potential in what replatforming or upgrading SQL will do for them. So there's definitely some themes, just taking SQL as an example, where people are using this as an opportunity to do things differently in the data warehouse and use that as an opportunity to drive a bigger, perhaps, data visualization project or getting better insights from the data that they've got. So it's being used as a tool or a compelling event to drive more data modernization. Mm-hmm. And that's a theme that I think we see across local gov, NHS, charities, education, where they all probably have an even bigger agenda to do more with the data that they've got and start to do advanced workloads.
Yeah, absolutely. So you say there's sometimes differences in opinions on what end of support means to people within their specific organizations. How do we bring them people together so that we can build a plan? You know, whose responsibility is that? Is that someone, a specific role within the client organization, or is that someone from a partner such as Phoenix to go in and advise on that? Or how do you see that? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Jacob Hoy probably expand on this a little bit, but I think what we've seen is, I mentioned before, there'll be multiple stakeholders in the customer. They'll all have an interest in, you know, the infrastructure and some of those areas. I think what we found is we're engaging now with a much broader audience within the customer, and they are coming together to look at solving this problem. Interestingly, it's also not just a Phoenix thing. So we're also now working closer than ever with other partners or Microsoft or the vendor directly to address it in a collaborative way, because for one person or one role within the organization or any one partner to understand how to potentially modernize and replatform and upgrade all these systems, it's too big a challenge. So it really is a group effort.
And it's really changed. I mean, when you look at 2008 and you kind of go back to that time frame, you know, SQL was used in very specific kinds of use cases.
And that's a long time ago in the IT world.
It really, really is. But you know, at the same time, 2008, 2008 R2 have been workhorses around the database side. So if all you've got is a very basic database environment, it was already in place, it's kind of that thing where if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of a thing. And now they're kind of being forced to look at that. And now all of a sudden you've got things like artificial intelligence and big data and analytics and data lakes, and all of this stuff is coming into play. And 2008 just can't deal with it because obviously it just wasn't made for that sort of environment. And so when you start talking to the business itself, they want to start looking at some of these, you know, even things like chatbots, which sounds pretty basic and has nothing to do with data, has everything to do with the database side of things, of where you store all those responses, where is it getting those responses and analyzing against them. And all of that's not even going to be available in 2008 or 2008 R2. You're going to have to move to a later version just to get accessibility into that. And the business is pushing for those sorts of changes to happen. So it's really great to see an organization, you know, lead with that, going, well, we've got this change already in play and we've got to make this change. But we want to get to this endpoint, which is something really, you know, really cool and sexy and new, which is chatbots, artificial intelligence. And that's where we're going.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that now even in the public sector, you know, where they traditionally are a little bit behind the commercial sector. Even now the public sector is starting to see, where can we make these savings? Where can we get advanced things and stay ahead and get cost savings, but still offer some advanced workloads?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it sounds like SQL's a big thing at the minute. Obviously, hundreds of products go end of support every day across the IT market. Well, actually, SQL is a big thing. Are you having these conversations regularly within customers? Is it something that they want to talk about? Is it something that they're embracing, or what do you see?
Yeah, definitely. So we speak to some organizations who are concerned about compliance or the security of running an unsupported platform in some cases. And then, like Jacob says, we'll have these conversations with other areas of the organization who generally want to sort of transform and do things differently. And that's where we are having conversations about AI, about chatbots, about advanced workloads. But somewhere along the line, we'll have to have the conversation with them about doing something with these technologies that are going out of support. I mean, the other big one that the almost equal measure we're having conversations is actually Windows 7, just for example. I mean, it's going out of extended support in January next year. And actually for public sector, there's still a lot of Windows 7 desktops out there, things like WannaCry, and there's a huge amount of work to be done getting people onto the latest version of Windows. So that is almost on a par as being, there's a couple of big compelling events that are important because of security and compliance, but actually they both offer opportunities to change the way the organization works.
I think that's really going to impact businesses a lot more than the SQL 2008, because with the SQL 2008, worst case scenario, you can buy the extended support and get up to three more years of coverage. Windows 7 is dead. That's end of life. There is no more extension, which means that after that point, you are no longer GDPR compliant, you're no longer security compliant. Mm-hmm. These are massive issues for organizations that run ISO levels. And if they're not already making this transition, they have to be done by then, not starting it. And so this is something that they really need to, you know, step forward and start taking a look at.
And why is it, you think, in your opinions, that the organizations leave it until the last minute? I mean, obviously cost is a big factor. Let's take cost out of it. What are the other factors that may affect that?
Yes, but that's a big question, offending some of our listeners. But I think there is genuine desire, I think, to do something differently. But I think certainly in public sector, there has been budget constraints. There's been arrangements where perhaps that organization is not fully in control of their own infrastructure from outsourcing arrangements or...
Do you think the fear of change maybe comes into play?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the fear of change will definitely come into play. It's also understanding. You know, a lot of people don't understand what it actually means that it's becoming end of support and don't understand that they'll no longer get updates and those sorts of things. We as consumers don't really face that in the world. Mm. You buy a new laptop, it's got a new system on it. You buy a new, you know, new product. When that doesn't work anymore, it usually stops working long before the software does. You buy another new product, it's got the more up-to-date stuff on it. You just continue to move forward. In business, you run things as long as you can to save that money and those costs.
Oh, sweat the assets.
And sweat the assets, right? And so I think it's just understanding that, you know, you can't leave this to the point of there is no more extension period on some of these things. You have to be pre-planning it and pushing and driving to make these changes, even if, you know, there is a cost, you know, associated. And I think it's difficult for IT and business to marry those two up. And things like GDPR and compliance are really starting to drive that, because if you're not compliant under GDPR and you have a breach, people get fined or go to jail. I mean, that's pretty clear cut. Mm. And it doesn't matter whether you sit on the business or the IT side, somebody's getting fined and somebody's going to jail. Mm. And that really drives that interest to say, well, actually, we do need to make sure we're compliant. And we do need to make sure we make these changes.
So where does an organization start when, you know, to understand the severity of some of these penalties and things like that? You know, obviously, there might be certain products that go into support that someone wouldn't necessarily get fined or go to jail for. But where can someone go, or who can someone speak to really understand the landscape and what, how they prioritize things?
I think it's the partners. I think, you know, the partners that they're already working with today, like Phoenix, you know, we help organizations with their licensing. We should understand what's coming into life. We should know some of the things that are coming and so have options for them like we do to help them make that transition and engage in the sense of being able to have that conversation with both IT and the business to help bridge that gap for them as well and make it. I think it's the idea of it's such a big change, you know, and you talk about that fear of change, making it more bite-sized and more manageable in smaller chunks over time makes it much easier to make the changes rather than it's going, oh, we've got to have all this done in the next month kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think that's it. Sometimes organizations will leave it to quite close to the deadline for some of this. So I think just encourage you to really think about what might be going, you know, end of support. Jacob says if Phoenix can support organizations where we have the understanding of their licensing and what they're doing strategically. But, you know, a little bit of time, a bit of planning. There's always options, whether that's to extend the support, replatform the application, do something completely new. But it takes time to make those decisions and get them signed off. So, you know, just start to plan against those milestones where you know, that software is going out to support. Yeah, is there an opportunity to do something new or
yeah, and it's not always the application that's the issue and then the reason why they don't make the change. I mean, when you look at Windows or SQL, there's a lot of other applications that are tying into that. And that might be why they haven't changed yet, because, yeah, you just change that application or that service, but actually I've got 10 applications that are tied into it that depend on it and don't work with Windows 10 or don't work on a newer version of SQL. Mm. Well, now all of a sudden it's a cascading problem because now I've got to deal with these 10 and those have to change. And then what depends on those applications, what has to change? And it becomes, it very quickly can come out of control for customers. And I think it's sitting down with someone and kind of going through it and working out what can you actually do and what are some of the options. And it doesn't mean that you have to upgrade per se. There's ways to do things with Windows 7 where you can kind of sandbox it. Same with Windows 2008, where you can sandbox those environments and not have to make those changes per se. for those legacy systems and still get the support you need.
Okay, good. And with regards to SQL 2008 specifically, you know, what's the biggest opportunity for a customer with the end of support? You know, you touched on some of the areas that might that a customer might not want to change, but what are the reasons for them actually wanting to do it?
I think what we've seen with certain organizations is they've been able to look at that workload that's running on SQL. I'll use a university's example. They might have a SQL environment which is supporting the application which deals with their student intake, and that happens over a summer once a year. Mm-hmm. So the other 12 months of the year, they're running a fairly expensive piece of hardware and the licensing associated with it. So there's an opportunity there to actually move that service, host it in public cloud platform like Azure, and only use it when they actually need it, and just pay for what they're using in that summer period. So I think that's a really good example of, well, rather than them just extend the support on that particular environment that's supporting those applications, there's a great chance, an opportunity to actually just move that into the cloud and take advantage of it. So there'll be lots of different examples like that where, if you sort of plan it properly and use it, you can modernize and do things a bit differently.
Yeah. Jacob, you talked about breaking things down into bite-sized chunks. Mm-hmm. Craig, you've just, give us a few good reasons why people might want to change. Yeah. What do we have to offer our clients to help them on that journey?
Well, we've got a couple of programs, one specifically around SQL to do an analysis of their environment, to help them look at those dependencies and look at those applications and start mapping all of that out. I think the difficulty that most organizations have is you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm. And as you're looking at your environment, it's about, well, how can we start planning if we don't know where stuff is and how it's tied in and how it works? And we found that we've done quite a few of these engagements, and it's great because we sit down with the customer and go through it with them. And they get this report out of it, and they understand now where they're at. They can now start to break that down logically in their head about, well, we can do this over this time frame. We can do this over this time frame. I can go and ask for this budget and get this covered. And it just makes it so much easier than going, well, we just have to upgrade everything. Mm-hmm. Let's just throw a load of money at it. Actually, I can start to really pinpoint what I need to upgrade in time frames that I need to.
Yeah. And of course, that's translatable into any end of support concept.
Absolutely,
across
yeah.
any type of technology and any vendor. So yeah. It's a sensible way of approaching it, I guess.
We can extend that out and look at other vendor solutions within Phoenix. So you might have a number of assessments and conversations with our specialists just to fully map out all the the environment and the dependencies. And like Jacob says, simply set kind of a plan. Where are you? What's it going to cost? What are the high priority things you've got to fix now? Mm. And what can be dealt with in 6, 12 months, 18 months? What does that future roadmap look like?
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about some of the extreme risks of someone not getting onto the current version of things. What are some of the smaller problems that people might encounter by not going for the most current version?
Be more expensive. Right, because you're going to have to run, you're going to have to spend a lot more time dedicated towards it. It's a soft expense in some extent because it's not something tangible that you can say, this will cost this much extra. It'll be, you have to pay more for extended support, so you can see that cost. But then you have to keep those skills in-house. Mm-hmm. As more and more people are learning the newer stuff, they don't realize what the older stuff is. They're moving past that. You got to keep those skill sets in-house.
Yeah.
There's things of running that equipment, which will be less efficient than new equipment. Moving to the cloud is a lot more efficient. So again, there's cost savings there. So there's a lot of soft costs that are kind of built around running it, plus security breaches.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are starting to target, the NeverCry was a specific breach around XP.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that just wasn't patched anymore because nobody paid any more attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see more and more of that for some of these out of end of life things out of support.
Absolutely. I think the other areas will be also just around user experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're trying to attract talent into the organization, or you're trying to keep them there or give them a great experience, make them feel valued as an employee, we talk a lot about this. We think about a modern workforce and what people are used to outside of work and coming into the office.
Mm.
I think we've definitely seen a shift where, if I'm an employee, used to going to an organization where, say, I'm running Windows 7 with Office 2010, a range of kind of legacy applications and stuff. It's just going to be a very different experience, mm-hmm. what I'm used to outside of work, but also probably a very different experience to what I might be able to get if I go and work for a company down the road. Or
and it's not just the experience of that employee, it's that it actually becomes an inhibitor to them doing the best work that they can do.
Yeah, there will be other ways, features and some of these things which can help productivity or accessibility. So there's real, you know, end user benefits.
And there's time as well. I mean, you talk about costing, you know, you think about a user, it's called consumerization of IT. The stuff I use at home, I use at work. I understand how it works. I have those features. I'm using those products. If you then stick me on something that's much older, I now have to remember, or in some cases I've never used, I now have to learn how to use that product differently than I'm normally used to. All that time adds up over 100, 200, 1,000 employees trying to figure stuff out just to get their job done.
Rather than all of a sudden the cost of upgrading becomes less of a big deal.
Yeah, and it's just looking at that holistic view rather than just saying, oh, that's quite expensive to upgrade. Well, what's the soft costs along the way that you're going to be expending if you don't?
Okay. All right, great. So thanks, guys. We could talk about end of support for all day, I think, if we wanted to. But I think, you know, we've had a good conversation there. I think there's plenty of information. Thanks for joining me today. You know, it's a pleasure to be with you guys, as always. So that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and we hope you found it of use. We're always here to take the conversation further, so please get in touch if you want to discuss any of the points we've talked about today. And remember, if you want to support what we do, please share and subscribe. That's all for now, but we'll see you again in the next episode of Pod.